I have a particular message which I really wanted to share for a while. I've always said in the past, any message that I share is from my own commentary, the commentary of my life. God's either leading me into a sermon, through a sermon, or out of a sermon. So we're going to get hit with that again today. So this is a sermon that's been building up in me, I suppose, for the last year. It's a message God has been working in me and through me for the last year. And strange enough, it was kind of like a couple of weeks ago, probably even just less than 2 weeks ago, it was kind of like, oh my gosh, the realization that today is actually celebrated around the Christian, the worldwide church, is Pentecost Sunday. Some call it Whitsun, but Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit, is celebrated through the churches, right, on the traditional church calendar. Right? And I have friends who are preaching sermons on the Holy Spirit this morning, and I thought, oh gosh, what about me? And I'm like, so you have this message building up in you for, what's it, like a year? And then suddenly it's like, oh, but is it for this Sunday? So I wouldn't say I've been grappling with it for the last week or anything else like that. Okay, I've actually been pretty relaxed about it. It's been more a case of, okay, Lord, how does this tie in? Or does it need to fit in with this? Do I need to change anything? No, actually, I don't. And I thank God that, he just starts to sort of show that actually what I want to share this morning really is absolutely, it wouldn't happen without the Holy Spirit. It'd be nigh impossible. You couldn't make this happen. You could not make this happen in your own strength. And the Holy Spirit is absolutely crucial to this message and where we go from here. Again, as I reflected on Pentecost, I'm just reminded that Jesus told them when he ascended into heaven, he says, go, stay in the city and wait. And the Father will send the Holy Spirit. It's not like they could dive out. I don't know if you remember in Matthew 28, it said, go into all the world. Brilliant! Let's go into all the world. Let's go and do these things. But he didn't say, it's like, okay, we're all fired up. We can go and do this thing now because Jesus has told us to do it. And he said, actually, go first. Go and wait. And you can realize, actually, you could not do the things that Jesus commissioned them to do without doing them in the power of the Holy Spirit. You couldn't do it. I've tried. You couldn't do it. So what I'd like to do just for a moment before we go any further, we just wait for a few moments. Is that okay? I don't want you thinking how long is he going to wait for or anything. Just close your eyes just for a moment and just wait and see. And we'll just trust the Lord. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for the words that you've placed within me this week and even this morning. I thank you for the work that you're doing in each one of our lives. And I just ask you now to glorify yourself, to glorify Jesus, to glorify the Father, and take these words and anoint them and bring them forth into each one of our lives. Bless them. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth right now, here in this place as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Anybody here not know Psalm 23? Well, there's a good start. Okay? If you want to, you can turn to your Bibles and open up on Psalm 23, or you can just listen. You can even say it along with me if you want. All right? I don't mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When I was growing up, I was an altar boy in church. Shock, horror, look on your faces, wasn't it? Gosh. And I remember as an altar boy, okay, we'd have the bishop come and visit us. And we used to sort of have a competition, see who could get the best jobs. Okay, of course, there was the swinging of the incense, and there was the bringing out of the host and the wine, things like that. But when the bishop came, we got to carry, okay, we got to hold his mitre, which was his fancy hat, or his crozier. The crozier was his staff. His staff. And I have this image in my mind. It's one of those things that sort of sticks with you from young age and things like that. Is the thing working? Is it? Sorry. All right, sorry. Okay. Oh, I'm very softly spoken on that. That feels better now. Sorry. Oh, I can preach now. Hallelujah. Suddenly, I feel empowered. But anyway, I had this image in my mind of the crozier. Have you ever seen the crozier, the bishop's crozier? And it's a tall staff, and it's got this bejeweled, do you know what I mean by bejeweled, hook on the end. Isn't it? It's got this hook on there. All right. And I remember hearing, you know, as a young person, you know, people explaining to me this hook on this crozier. Was like, you know, it's supposed to be like, you know, the bishop is supposed to be like the shepherd. And this hook had a function for the shepherd of like catching the sheep by the leg. All right. And it like stuck with me. And I'm thinking, and as I think about this now, it doesn't sound very nice, does it? But those kind of images stick with you. Okay. And so consequently, Loretta, would you mind passing me those two implements? So consequently, if I was to turn around to you this morning and say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, what image comes into your mind? Ah, here we go. All right. Okay. And, you know, it's one of those things. For me, I've read Psalm 23 in the past, and I've struggled with this issue about your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I have this thing about being pulled across the field by my leg, by this crozier, or beaten over the back with this staff. Okay. I've been talking about a lot of things, about changing mindsets. Okay, my soul has had to be restored in certain aspects here. Okay, and I'd like to have a look at that. All right. I think when we read Psalm 23, I don't know about you, but your rod and your staff, they come for me, doesn't really tend to click. I like the bit where it says, what's it, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We all like that bit, don't we? Yeah, okay? All right. We don't like that, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, it says there, I will fear no evil, but I don't even like the aspect of walking through the shadow of death, you know, the valley. Anybody here like that bit? No, good, shaky heads. Okay, we're on the same page here, okay? All right, we love the bit there where he says there, you know, you lay a table, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Man, I really like that bit. Okay, I don't mind him pouring oil all over my head and my cup just overflowing. It just sounds so great. Now, I don't know how he prepares a table before me in the presence of my... Anybody here ever had a table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies? I've never sat down before my enemies and gone, look at me, mate. Suck it up. I'm good. Have you ever done that? Normally, my enemies, I want to keep away from them. And I'm like, okay, but that's in Psalm 23 as well. I'll put these down just for a moment, but I will come back to them. See what happens with that. So there's aspects of this psalm. It's, you know, for some people, it's their favorite psalm. Loretta. You know, we're walking along in West Cork and someone has put Psalm 23 down by the river there, wasn't it, Loretta? It's, you know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I really want that. Anybody here ever read a book? Well, no. Has anybody ever jumped to the end of a book and read the last few pages to see what happens and then decided to read the book? Okay. All right. Normally, I don't even bother going that far. I normally read the bit on the outside on the back cover to see whether it's worth it or not. Yeah, we love to know that there's going to be a happy ending, but we don't necessarily always want to go through the adventure of reading the book. You know, I love to receive gifts, don't we? We love to receive wonderful things, but we don't necessarily want to go through the experience of learning to value them. Yeah? Okay, you can receive wonderful things, but you might not necessarily value them because you haven't been in this place where you really, really needed or wanted or able to receive these kind of things. That's a different thing altogether, isn't it? We could have a shelf with a collection of all these beautiful trophies that we've got, but they're just trophies. Okay? So I'd like to take a look at Psalm 23. I'm sorry, I'd like to share with you a look at Psalm 23 through my eyes. And I pray this morning, this is my prayer this morning, Pentecost, yeah? Okay? They waited on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit ministered to them. The Holy Spirit empowered them. Then they went out and did that which Jesus had commissioned them to do in glorious fashion. Okay? As I read Psalm 23, I see that there's actually some kind of order to the way that God does things. I'd love to just wake up one morning, suddenly become a brilliant Christian, and then just dive out there in the middle of everywhere and just go wham and do everything that I'm commissioned to do. I've tried it. There was a time in West Cork, I just decided I was going to go out and convert the whole of the Catholic nation. I ended up going into depression. Oh, I'm serious. That was one of those times in my life I almost turned my back on the church. My then pastor rang me up, and I'm going, whatever. And Loretta was very worried about me then as well. On that, we can feel that sometimes, you know, we see these things, and they're great. And God calls us to do these things, and we go, throw ourselves out there. But trust me, we are not ready. We are not ready. Don't mean to say we never will be ready. But there are times we can be just so over-enthusiastic about things that we actually end up doing them in our own strength and not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's have a look at Psalm 23. First and foremost, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. He is not a horrible guy with his great big hooked crozier who's going to whack my legs from underneath me. The Lord is my shepherd. The Hebrew word for shepherd, you saw, some of you might have seen, I put it up there on Viber earlier on this week, is Ra-Ha. You may tell me if I pronounce that right, Jerry, I'm not sure. But I believe that the word shepherd... Okay. But the word shepherd is commonly used in the Hebrew language to be my best friend. Now that makes more sense to me. I've never seen a flock of sheep in the countryside being beaten up by their shepherd. Have you? Now I've seen dogs chasing sheep, and I've seen dogs being, you know, whatever. And I've seen sheep injured as a result of being chased by dogs or whatever it is. But I've never seen a sheep injured by a shepherd. We need to change our mindsets, our perspectives. He is my best friend. And I believe that a shepherd is a flock of sheep's best friend. Why is he their best friend? Because he wants to protect them. He wants to care for them. He takes them to the best grass, which he's already scouted out. He knows where it is and he directs them to it. He doesn't say, right, we're heading to the desert, lads. You're going to starve. He wants the best for you. He is the flock of sheep's best friend. Ah, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The sheep don't want because he takes them to where they need to be to get what they need. Oh, no, I know where the best grass is. I'll go off there. No, mate, sorry. You're not the shepherd. You're a sheep. But sometimes we can run ahead of the shepherd, can't we? Well, sometimes we need to be directed back. We'll come back to that in a moment. All right. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I've done a lot of that recently. Who would like to think that in the church, no one can make me do anything? I am a free spirit. You would. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that in Jesus' flock, he will make you do something. Why will he make you do something? Because he's a horrible shepherd who wants to rip the legs out from underneath my, you know, my body. No, because he knows that you need it. You need what Jesus will do to you. Why? Well, for example, I spent 7 years in ministry. I'm not saying I did everything wrong. Okay? But there were times when I was flying ahead of the shepherd, running on with my own ideas. So busy doing things, not trusting that other people could do things. Sorry, not trusting that God would do things through other people necessarily. And so consequently, I felt I had to do everything. So what did Jesus make me do? He made me lie down in green pastures. He brought me beside quiet, still waters. It wasn't that anybody else had a problem. I needed to be refreshed. I needed to be restored. Now, don't think that this is a wonderful thing. I went, oh, brilliant! Green pastures, fresh water. Let me dive in and just relax and sunbathe or whatever it was, okay? All right? This was the hardest thing for me to do. Nobody wants to be made to do anything, do we? But yet being made to do something is necessary at times. Because if we continue in our own strength, if we continue in our own direction, okay, you know, you're going to get burnt out, lads. You go off the cliff. I've seen a sheep at the bottom of a cliff face. In bits. Right? I don't want anybody to end up on the bottom of a cliff face in bits. That's brutal, isn't it? It's not a nice sight. It's horrible. Okay? I am so thankful that God grabbed me by the scruff, as they say, all right, on this occasion, and said, sit there. And I literally spent last year, last summer particularly, sitting in my garden. Right? I said, I'm not going to grow vegetables. The only thing I'm going to do this year is cut grass. And I sat there underneath a cherry tree. And you know what? I battled with the Lord. Okay? I fought with him. I was so angry at God. And he was so loving. It wasn't fair. It was tough. And the only word that I heard in that season was read the Psalms. Psalm a day. And I read a psalm each day. Some days I went, oh no, that's too much, I can't handle that. Other days I just grabbed a verse or grabbed a word and said, this is what's going to keep me going today. But I stuck through. Didn't know why. Something inside of me told me just to rest. Let go. I was not used to letting go and letting God. It just didn't seem right. But he made me. And today I can stand here this morning going, I thank you, Lord, for making me. Because it was in that place that he didn't deal with anything else or anybody else or anything else like that, okay? His sole focus, I don't know what he was doing with you guys, but in that moment, in those moments, his sole focus was me and what I needed to hear from him, to receive from him. Those aspects in my soul and in my heart which needed to be seared, which needed to be restored, which needed to be healed in order that I could confidently stand up here again this morning or as I did last a few weeks ago. We all, at some stage, okay, need this. Now, we either need it on the macro scale. Do you know what I mean by macro? The big scale, right? We, you know, it's got so far, we need to be down, okay? All right? Or we need it on a micro scale, don't we, on a daily basis? This message is not just about the big things, okay? You know, I'm not saying you've all got to become sort of massive church leaders and then crash and burn and go out and do whatever. No, no, we need this on a macro scale and a micro scale. I believe that this divine, healthy order that's in Psalm 23 is for a daily basis, as much as it is for a 7-year, 10-year, or whatever it is basis, okay? All right. So, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Thank you, Lord. I didn't even have to cut the grass, by the way, because there was a drought. There was feet up, coffee in the pot there, okay? And that was it. Brilliant. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I love the image of the still waters, okay? It's not still as in dead. It's quiet waters. I've been up in some mountains recently, right? And you wouldn't believe there's lovely little pools of water and just the water trickling in and trickling back out again. And man, it's such a restoring place to be. The water is so refreshing. What did Jesus say? If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Oh, wow. The Bible in nature. God speaking to us. But if we don't get out of those busy places where we're doing, and come to those places where we're made to sit, and be. Holly did a lovely teaching there the other day on abiding. You can't abide when you're rushing around. You need to stop. On a macro level, you need to take time out. Bang. Couple of weeks, couple of months, a year, even whatever it is. On a micro level, you need to take time out each day. And I'm not talking just about sleeping. I'm talking about abiding. for a few minutes, a few moments, or whatever it is, okay? Find that place where you can abide with him, that you can receive from him. For me, it's like God wanted to get my attention. He could have let me carry on running around, whatever it is, okay? He could let us carry on running around doing whatever we're doing. But if God wants to get your attention, he's got to pull you out and go, bang, lie down. It's far easier. No, it's not far easier. It's a discipline to learn to go, actually, I need to pull myself out of a situation and abide for a moment. It's going to be good for me. It's going to be good for my relationship with God. Came to a place, I'm not joking, I was so angry. Yeah, I was really angry, okay? I'd literally forgotten my own relationship with God. And it was in reading the Psalms that I went, oh my gosh. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5 there is, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. I got to Psalm 25. So we went through 24 days of Psalms. I got to Psalm 25. I read that and I started crying and I went, what's going on here? I read through the whole Psalm again. I was crying my eyes out. What's going on? I read it again and went, oh my gosh. I'd forgotten the very words that were given to me. I gave my life to Jesus. I got so caught up in ministry, I actually forgot my own relationship was more important than doing ministry. Do you think I jumped up and down with joy? Woohoo! Here I am laying on green pastures. Side one. No, do you know what? I got more angry. And God had to minister to my soul and get me past. He says, I got you here for a reason, because I want you to connect with me and not with the world. Psalm 23 is about us connecting with him. You cannot go through the valley of the shadow of death. Or in other versions, it says, you cannot go through the deepest places, the deepest, darkest places of your life, unless you have been with him. Sorry, you can go through those places. You can go through the deepest, darkest places in life on your own, in your own strength. And trust me, you will crash and you will burn. But God does not want you to crash and burn. Psalm 23 tells us that, doesn't he? You lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. So once I've spent time with him in the green pastures and beside the still waters, and he's ministered to my soul and he's restored my soul, and he's healed those places of wounding and healing, was it hurting in my life? All right, and I'm giving it, I'm loving this. I can stay here for the rest of my life. And then he starts to say, that's when he starts, actually, I want to teach you something. I want to teach you more about myself. In the place of green pastures and refreshing waters, he didn't go, Steve, I'm commissioning you to go off and do this, that, and the other at all. It was purely, Steve, you need to know me. Steve, you need to hear from me. Steve, you need to know that I love you. So I had to get over all that, you don't love me anymore bit first and just receive that. Right? But then he starts to take you and says, I'll start leading you in paths of righteousness. And that's an ongoing process, isn't it? See, this Psalm 23 is a macro psalm and a micro psalm. Think of it that way. It's a big picture and also everyday life. And he leads you in paths of righteousness. Now, you know, from what I gather, you know, when the sheep go around a hill, they start to have tracks. Okay. But eventually the shepherd's taken him to the nice grass at the top. Okay, he brings him down and winded back into the whatever. But, you know, it's sometimes in life it feels like we're going round in circles, doesn't it? Okay? But we're still going up the mountain. Okay? He's still taking us to new parts of the mountain. New places. And there have been times in life where I feel like I'm doing the same thing. But I'm learning new lessons. And even the sense that we were listening to Loretta and Holly talking about the messages that we've had in the church over the last few months. And quite often someone started up, you've heard this before, but. Yeah? God's teaching us deeper lessons, bringing us to greater revelations about who he is and who we are in him. All right? But it's always for his name's sake, isn't it? For his glory. I'm going to do this for my glory. He leads me. We need to learn to be led. We do not drive the flock. The flock does not follow us. We need to be led by him. If the shepherd is led by if the leader of the church is being led by the shepherd, then the flock will all come as well. Yeah? Seriously, guys, we need to accept that we need to be made to do certain things, and also that we need to learn to be led rather than you lead me, follow me, guys, and things like that. Right? There's a lot of lessons in here, isn't there? Kind of goes against the grain of 20th century society, isn't it? The world cannot make me do anything. I can do my own thing. I am my own God. Yeah, it's such a strong teaching in the world today. You can be anything. Well, no. You can try and burn yourself out in the process. Or you can surrender to what God wants for your life. Be led by him and just really enjoy the process. Now, that does mean, though, that you may even, though, walk through the valley of the shadow of death and even the darkest places in life, because in life, stuff happens. I'm going to put it very politely. Okay? In life, stuff happens. Some seem to get hit with stuff worse than others. I've been brought to that place in life where I've seriously contemplated not living anymore. And I'm sure other people have as well. And it ain't fair, is it? But if you go through those times and those places in your own strength, in your own capacity, in your own abilities, and you realize that actually there's nothing that you can rely on in yourself, you will crash and you will burn. But if you have been in the green pastures and sat beside the quiet waters and you've been led in paths of righteousness and equipped and prepared, that when you go through these dark places of life, I will fear no evil because I know that you are with me because you have brought me and made me come to these places in the past. We will go through difficult times, but we can be assured in the midst of those difficult places that he is with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When have I doubted that? I've doubted that when I've been going through dark places in my own strength. I shouldn't have been going through those dark places in the first place. I should have gone, I love it. What's it? Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah chapter 30, he says there, you know, even though you, also, I give you the bread of affliction or the waters or whatever it is, he says, and yet you will hear your teacher's voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the left or when you turn to the right. We'll be coming to this in just a moment. Yeah? When you turn to the left and when you turn to the right. I will never leave you nor forsake you. All right. We can walk through those dark places in life knowing that he is with us. No fear. Man, that's wonderful, isn't it? If I'm going through dark places at the moment and I'm fearing, then I'm going to turn around and say, Lord, take me to that place where I need to sit down in green pastures before I carry on. Okay? Right? Just take me to a place right now, Lord, and just sit me down. Okay? What's going on here? Right? What is it that I'm struggling with in order that I can continue? Macro and micro. Daily basis. Lord, I'm going through something difficult today. All right, rather than carry on and trying to push through, because we want to push through because we're men. Nothing can hold us back. Well, sometimes, guys, we just got to go, hang on a minute. This is a bit too big for me. Got to sit back, go back, talk then. Okay, where do I go? All right, so even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they come for me. I love this bit. Right. Do you know why I love this bit? Not because I'm going to bash you over the head with this. Okay? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why would a shepherd have a rod and a staff? I didn't have to think about this. I needed revelation. Okay? I needed revelation. I needed God to break my mindsets about what these were actually for. They sound painful, don't they? Yeah? I had the wooden spoon given to me when I was younger. It was painful. All right? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod. Okay? Why would a shepherd have a rod? Okay? A shepherd would have a rod for putting the sheep into the right direction. Directing, isn't it? It's directing. It's not that. Although some of us, I'm sure, have had that application. Yeah? Man, it did work. Temporarily. Yeah. But the whole point of the rod is actually to direct and correct. Correct the direction. To correct the direction. And he corrects our direction because he loves us so much when we're going in the wrong direction. I don't want you to go that way. There's better grass up there. Oh, but I want that grass down there. No. This is so much better. Oh, okay. So the rod is actually for correcting direction. Okay. Now this one. A staff. It's bigger, it's heavier. Generally speaking, it will be made from the core of the tree. Rock hard, tough as nails. Is it for bashing sheep? No, it's not. I'm not going to say the person's name because obviously this is being recorded. Okay, so the person who nodded. All right, it is not for bashing people over the head. I'm sitting there and I'm going, Lord, a rod and a staff. Rod for correction. Staff for protection. Shepherd has a staff, not to hit the sheep, but to protect them. How could having a rod and a staff, which causes me pain, bring me comfort? A rod which directs and a staff which protects me brings me so much comfort. The staff is for the wolves. David knew how to take on lions. David knew that his sheep needed protecting. And I'm sure, even if this was written when he was a king, he knew. The sheep need protecting. When I read your rod and your staff, they bring me comfort. It's because you have got my back, Jesus. You have got my back. You are not going to allow me to go through dark places, terrified of the wolves which are going to come down from the mountaintops and take me out. No, first of all, you are with me, and I can be confident and have no fear, and I can be comforted by the fact that you will keep me going in the right direction, and your staff is always ready to take out those that will come against me. Be they physical, emotional, or spiritual enemies. Is this helping anybody this morning?
Yeah.
This is my staff. You're not having it. All right. Thank God he's got a far better staff. Yeah? He's got a far better staff. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yeah? Beautiful. Beautiful image. Okay? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I'm sitting, like I said, okay, Lord, I've never seen you put a nice table up in front of my enemies and invite them to my table so I could boast and brag that you were good. I've never seen that. I've never experienced it. I've often wanted to do it. Wouldn't that be great? Rub it in their noses. Yeah. Or rub their noses in it, or whatever you want to call it, the other way around. But no, that's not what he does. I read this, I'm sitting there, and I'm going, oh my gosh. Now I'm talking spiritual here, right? Okay, we've made this table, and it's beautiful, and we sit out there, and I've got my cup of coffee on there, I've got my toast on there, and I've got my Bible there, and I went, oh Lord, your supper. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I'm thinking to myself, every time that I take part in the Lord's Supper, I am like slapping the enemy in the face and going, yes, he's done it. That's beautiful. It's not just a religious taking the wine and taking the bread and doing this thing or anything like that. But every time you take the bread and the wine, it's like saying to the enemy, I am his and he is mine. And he has done it for me, and there's nothing that you can do against me because you are defeated. Yes! That's power. I'm looking forward to the next time that we do communion, because it is such a statement to the enemy that he died, I don't have to die. He shed his blood. I am cleansed by the power of his blood. All my sins and all my iniquities are washed clean in the blood of Jesus. Now that is a statement to say in front of your enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We all know they're trying around there. They're trying to hound us. You look at that table, mate, next time I'm standing there. Okay? You look at it. You hear what that table says. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. The oil, the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit. Pour it on me. Yeah? Pour it on. Okay? My cup overflows. We were having this discussion in the Bible study there on Friday night, okay? All right, I can only hold so much. I can only hold so much. But yet he keeps pouring in. Why? Not that I can go, I got loads, but others can be blessed. Others can be touched by his goodness and his mercy and his love and his kindness, and he's just pouring it out. That is the purpose for that, I believe. This world can be touched by the overflowing cup of goodness that he's pouring into our lives. They can go, wow, what is that? I want some. We're almost there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I was reading this and I was going, power. Power. To live with that mindset in this world. He meets all my needs. I'm happy. I was chatting with a guy there in Little there yesterday, someone I used to work with in the quarries. I said to him, I'm on a lot less money. I get to climb mountains in the afternoons. And I'm twice as content. And he's working hard, busting his gut. Okay? All right. There are certain things in life which are actually more valuable than chasing the money trail. Sometimes we need to be dragged out of that, put into green pastures, sat down and go, I need to re-educate you. Yeah, I need to re-educate you. All right. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. All right? Surely goodness and mercy. What is goodness and mercy? Who is goodness and mercy? Christ, Jesus. So in one sense, we're learning to be led, but yet he's saying, I'm following you. I've got your back. Yeah, he's right there behind you. In this world, people may say to you, I've got your back, and fail you. He says, I've got your back. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And even though you don't necessarily know at the time, I'm there. Just need a bit of a shaking sometimes, don't we? And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I like to think, I like to believe, and I'm sure you do as well, that the Holy Spirit is with us on a daily basis. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. Yet the time will come when our life will end. But the promise is that we will dwell in his house forever. I believe we can dwell in his presence whilst we're alive. But yet we will come to a time where we will dwell in his presence, in his house. And what a glorious day that will be. But until that time, I have chosen to allow myself to be made to sit down in green pastures and led beside quiet waters, in order that I can hear his voice, in order that I can be ministered to personally, in order that he can lead me in paths of righteousness and teach me the ways that he wants me to walk in, so that when I do am led through those dark places in life, I will not fear evil, knowing that his rod and his staff are there to bring me comfort. And yes, when I come out of those places, those dark places, and I sit in that place of rest, and I sit in that place knowing that he's laid that table before me because he has saved me. And my enemies have no accusation against me, because he is my Redeemer. He is my Lord. And I will just, I'm not saying I'm a glory, but I will just enjoy just the Holy Spirit, just, ah. Oh. I've experienced things in my life which I know that I could not have experienced in my own strength, in my own capacity, in my own thing. Sometimes you just go, that was not me, that was him. Yeah. Beautiful moments. And you just revel in them. And just recognizing that we're blessed because he's a good God. He is a good shepherd. He is our best friend. And he has our best interests at heart. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for coming in Pentecost. Thank you for remaining. Thank you for leading, for guiding, for teaching, for comforting, for nurturing. These are all the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, aren't they? Thank you for making me lie down. Amen. Bless you. Reda, do you want to close? Okay. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I thank you that you are a good, good God. I thank you that there is no part of our life, be as young or older, that you haven't walked with us through, and that you are not walking with us through at the moment. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to take hold of the scruffs of our necks, if necessary, and just cause us to know your presence, your loving heart, your goodness and your mercy, and to minister to our souls, to heal those parts of our soul that need to be healed, to build up those parts that need to be built up, to protect us and to prepare us for the next journey. I thank you that you have gone before us and that you are there beside us. Lord, I bless each person here this morning. Wherever they're at and whatever they're finding themselves in the midst of at the moment, Lord, I pray that they would hear your voice. They would be comforted by your love. They would see your goodness in the land of the living and be filled with that certainty and hope of where they will one day be with you forever. Amen.